We're going to be looking at Paul in his journeys. He had helpers that went along with him, and we're going to look at them, focus on the helpers that he had. And there are basically four places that they are covered, talked about in more clear terms than in other places in Paul's writings and in the New Testament. So we'll look at try to look at all four of them. We'll start with Romans 16, and we'll look in verse 7 for now. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. And this verse is often misused. Those who don't believe that the body of Christ began in the middle part of Acts try to throw that at us, and saying that the body of Christ was before Paul. And they use this verse, who were in Christ, who also were in Christ before me. Well, it doesn't say that. Doesn't say that at all, does it? Look at the word, look through that whole verse for the word body. It's not in there, is it? So they just, you know, they're reaching for straws, grasping for straws to try and find something to hold on to their position instead of what the Bible says. Salute Andronicus. We're going to go on through the verse now. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen. Well, Webster says, in his definition of kinsmen, he says it's a man of the same race or family or relative. Kin is a group of persons of the same stock, race, or family. So, as a kinsman, Paul was a fellow Jew with Andronicus and Junia. And as a fellow prisoner with Paul, they had both been in prison, both Paul and Andronicus, and apparently Junia also, been in prison, possibly together at the same time in the same prison. But from the wording, I don't take that as a necessity. They could have been like fellow Americans at some time, or fellow Houstonites, you know, people that have at one time lived in Houston. Well, at one time they would have been in prison, so they were fellow prisoners, both having experienced being in prison. But then it doesn't tell us much. But it does explain that part of the verse. Going on, it says they were of note among the apostles, teaching. When it's talking about Andronicus and Junia, it says they are the ones that are of note among the apostles. So they were noteworthy. That's significant. And no matter which group of apostles Paul means there, they were noteworthy, and he salutes them as he salutes others in other places. And we'll see in a few minutes that Paul salutes people that are not necessarily in the body of Christ. Paul could have been referring to the body of Christ apostles when he says of note among the apostles. He could have been referring to Paul and Barnabas and Silas, Timothy, referred to as apostles. Or he could have been talking about Israel's 12 apostles, Peter, James, John, and the others of that group. And here's another example, though. When we look at these people that Paul is... what's the term? Not confirming, but... thanking the Lord for them. Of note, it says they were. It's an example of the cooperation that existed between Israel's Church of God and the body of Christ churches. Now, it doesn't mean they were the same in any way. They didn't have the same gospel, as explained in other parts of this, especially Paul's writings, but other places of the scriptures. Acts 13 compared to Acts 3 shows that they had different gospels. Galatians 2:7, they had different gospels. They had different promises of the gospel, what believing the gospel would do for them. So we do have other examples of that. Let's look in the second one of these places, Philippians 4, verse 2. Actually, 2 and 3. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Verse 3, Philippians 4, verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, and with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. In the book of life. This reference to at least four people shows that they were kingdom believers instead of body of Christ believers, because their names are in the book of life. And if we, well, let's we can look in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 27. We won't take time to read all through there, but that's all confirming passages that confirm, especially verse 27, the last in the chapter, last verse in the chapter. From those verses, we know that all those whose names are in the book of life are headed for only one place. Land. The land on earth. It's called the land in Scripture. On earth. In the New Jerusalem. And it was in Exodus 19 that God promised the land on earth as Israel's future domain. That was part of the promise of their gospel. You can look in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And verse 7 in particular brings out the land, that was what their part of their covenant was, that God would give them the land, place them in the land. Daniel 2:44 says when they're there, that kingdom will never end. Let's look at some of the verses going through there, though. We spoke of Revelation 21. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2, and then 9 and 10, and then verse 27. I want you to believe the verses, not my saying that the verses say something. Welcome to the room. Starting with verse 1, Revelation 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21, verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Verse 10, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So that's talking about what was promised to Israel, not what was promised to the body of Christ. It's talking about an earthly inheritance, not a heavenly inheritance, not those being in heaven, whose conversation is in heaven. It's talking about Israel. And it says earlier that those that are not in the book of life will be thrown into, I I think it says the lake of fire, or hell, an equivalent. I think it's the lake of fire, and but that's after the body of Christ has been caught up to be with the Lord. We're already in our inheritance. It's talking about those on earth, all those not found in the Lamb's Book of Life will be put into the lake of fire. So, and that's not a direct quote. I don't have it in front of me, the verse, and it's somewhere in the 20th chapter, I think, 19th or 20th of Revelation. Toward the end of the 20th, I believe. But from the scripture, it's pretty evident that in the early days of the body of Christ, there was much cooperation between the little flock, that Israel of God, and between them and the body of Christ. Those middle of Acts, Pauline grace churches. Pauline, I should say. Those body of Christ churches are called by various names in the scriptures. They're called the churches of the saints, the churches of Christ, churches of the Gentiles, churches of Asia, churches of Galatia, and churches of Macedonia, and there are probably others that I didn't list. But all those names are used of the body of Christ churches that Paul established. Paul described these three people in the next verse. This will be the third section that specifies this type of arrangement between Paul and his helpers. And these three people that it talks about in Colossians 4, they're helpers under special conditions. Colossians 4, verses 10 and 11 specifically. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. So that's a loving statement. John Mark had left them in the work when they were going to those churches in the work that was prophesied in Habakkuk 1:5. They were supplying the body of Christ side of what God was doing in Israel, called the work. But Colossians 4:11 goes on to name another person, and Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. It's talking about all three of them. It says they're of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. So there was cooperation between those in the body of Christ and those in that Matthew 16 Jerusalem church. The churches of Judea, they're called. And they're called the little flock, the Israel of God, that church there in Jerusalem. There was cooperation, and you can see that in Scripture in various places where they met in the same place, in the same building, in the same meeting. And they cooperated in other ways. The two different groups of Gospel of God believers were meeting temporarily together. When Paul went to a synagogue, the synagogues were apostate. And when they heard him preaching that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God risen from the dead, he only got, it turns out, he says later in his journeys, that his manner is to go in and preach that for three Sabbath days, three succeeding weeks, or two more weeks, I guess it would be, to make 3 weeks total. And when they would hear it, John 16:2 says, they'll throw you out of the synagogues, the Lord talking to his disciples, and they'll think that they're doing God a service by throwing you out of the synagogue. So they had to leave. All those that believed, whether they were to whether God was calling them, and God was calling them into two groups at that time, not like he is now, just into the body of Christ, but at that time, Israel had not yet been fully blinded and cast away as they were in Acts 28, which, by the way, is strictly an Acts, strictly an Israel event, Acts 28. It has nothing to do with the body of Christ. So let's go on. In Romans 1, verse 7, Paul addresses to all that be in Rome. That's who he's written to in his epistle to the Romans. To all that be in Rome. And then in Romans 4, he talks to Jews. So, he's talking to Jews. Believe the scriptures. In other places, he talks to Gentiles that call themselves Jews. So those various types of believers were meeting together. And they were written to by Paul and cooperating with each other. They were not... I'll get into that, what they were and weren't. But let's look at the cooperation in these two verses here. In Colossians 4, verses 10 and 11. Count these men and see what Paul says about them. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. That's one person. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. So that's Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas. That's also called John Mark in other places. That's two people. Aristarchus and Marcus. Thirdly, Paul mentions and Jesus, which is called Justice. And we'll refer to him as Justice just to avoid confusion there. So we see reference here to Aristarchus, John Mark, and Justice, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. Okay, hold on just a minute here and I'll take care of a little business. There we go, that should do it. So, Paul is going through here and he mentions many fellow workers, as we've seen in three sections here. He's not saying that they're all they're the only fellow workers. I mean, there are other fellow workers, but he's saying, well, as he mentioned, he's talking about those fellow workers who are of the circumcision. So there was cooperation between those two different groups, and they were different. Don't be thinking that they're the same group or that they're teaching the same thing, because they cooperate with each other. They were not against other believers that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah risen from the dead. They were in cooperation. They understood that there were two callings at that time, calling into Israel's covenant group there, the little flock, still doing that, even though the nation itself had fallen, and the nation was not being called to be reborn and have Christ return and rule, starting the 7-year tribulation and then the 1,000-year kingdom. But they were still being, probably the way I justify that being in the scripture is that they were probably called before Israel did fall, and God doesn't switch his calls back and forth. He knows what the end is from the beginning. So those people had been called, and when they heard Paul preach that Jesus was the risen Messiah, they believed it at that point, and at that point they became just like little flock believers. But some of those people went on to believe the gospel of Christ. Some of them were not called into the body of Christ. Some of them were called into Israel. Those two callings there at that time, not now. So there was cooperation between those believing the gospel of God and those, well, they all, both groups believed the gospel of God. But there's a group left in the synagogue, the apostate synagogues, that did not believe the gospel of God, and there was no cooperation between Paul's group and in Paul's meeting there, including those two groups that came out of the synagogue, between them and the synagogue. No cooperation there. So, and I'm looking mostly at my notes and the scripture there, so I'm not following the room too much. If you can bring up any questions later, we'll have a break in the middle and try to catch up on the questions then. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul mentions Timotheus as a fellow laborer that he specifies is a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Paul describes Timotheus specifically, not in general terms or generic terms like he did Aristarchus and Marcus and Justus, but he says our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. That's specific. Colossians 4:11, fellow workers unto, this is not 1 Thessalonians again, this is Colossians. Colossians 4, verse 11, fellow workers unto the kingdom of God. There was a brief time in Acts when God was still calling individual believing Jews into Israel's prophetic remnant. And that's what we were talking about before. Thank you. The prophetic remnant had a hope of a distant future kingdom. The kingdom that was promised to Israel, but it was not an at-hand kingdom anymore. It was after the fall of Israel. And at that same time, God was calling some Jews and some Greeks into a grace remnant, according to the election or choice of grace. And here are some of the verses that show that. There's some more in 1 Corinthians 4 and some in Romans 11, but let's look at these in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 20. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all churches. So ordain I in all churches. Verse 18. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. And I think he's still in the same context here, talking about the group, not the physical act, but the group called circumcision, and the group called uncircumcision, is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Let's look in Romans 11, chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. Even so, then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. We could stop there, but to finish the verse, but if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. The Lord was calling some Jews to choose the grace gospel instead of kingdom covenant gospel. So, And that's why Paul was going, you know, synagogue to synagogue and writing his epistles, trying to get Jews and Gentiles alike into the body of Christ. But there was cooperation between those two groups of churches during that time, especially during that Acts period there. Remember that later on, Paul says that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Paul was becoming very unpopular. And these were some people that, in spite of that unpopularity, they were willing to help Paul. And they did help him. They were able to. They were eager to. Paul said that these people were of the circumcision. They worked alongside Paul. And at that time, Paul had no test, such as, do you believe in Jesus? Yes. In which way do you believe in Jesus? Are you in my group or in their group? Are you in the body of Christ or in Israel? I don't believe, there's no record of him interrogating people like that. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 16. We're going to see a little related material here. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, we see it. Paul informs us that there were divisions going on in that church, in that Church of God, it's called, because of when they came out and first believed the gospel of God, they were all in that condition. They were all, none of them yet had heard the gospel of Christ to become body of Christ people, but they had left the apostate synagogue. So at that point when Paul writes them, he calls them the Church of God. That's what they were at that point. And then he came and preached. You know, what was, they left the synagogue in, I don't have the verses right in front of me at the moment, but I think it was Acts 18, 1 through 5, I think, 1 through 5. And then starting in verse 6, 7, in through there, he's got them separated into that house built hard against the synagogue. And he's established his meetings there with both those two groups, the group that came out of the synagogue believing in a future kingdom, and those that came out of the synagogue believing that Christ had died for their sins and risen for their justification. So in those verses we mentioned there, Paul informs us that there were divisions in Paul's believers' meetings apart from the synagogue, and that they were emphasizing the division instead of emphasizing their Lord and Savior. And the Lord's marvelous twofold plan that they could see in their midst in every meeting. There were both parts of God's plan right in that meeting there. So they couldn't mistake it. Some of them were even boasting, though, about their particular calling or their position or their genealogy, claiming to be either in Paul or in Apollos or in Peter or in Christ. And we'll see that was what the problem was. There was good division and there was bad division. Just like in Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, there's a good division that goes on there. So let's take a break here and we'll come back and finish, at least that's the plan.